Amen. I titled the message, Make Your Call and Election Sure. A guy named Wayne Grudem said, "The perseverance of the saints means that all those who are truly born again will be kept by God's power and will persevere as Christians until the end of their lives, and that only those who persevere until the end have been truly born again." Last time in our study of 2 Peter, we were in chapter 1. We covered verses 1 to 4. And just to kind of recap, refresh your memory, we looked at the grace and the peace that we have through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. The theme of 2 Peter is spiritual knowledge. And the key verse is chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue." Now, in spite of what we may think or what man says, we can have this peace. We can have this peace. And it's because Christ has defeated our enemies. What enemies, Rick? Well, enemies like sin, death, Satan, and hell. Because Jesus loved us to die for us on the cross, he paid the penalty for our sins. It makes it possible for him to now save us. And once we experience God's grace, I mean, this is God's word. This is what he tells us. We can then experience his peace. It comes with the grace. Peter went on to speak of a super knowledge. What is the super knowledge? You remember what we studied last time? It's a knowledge that comes as the Holy Spirit takes the things of Jesus Christ and makes them real to us. But what we need to understand tonight, this faith that we're living and standing on, it involves God's power. I think a lot of believers forget that. God's power is behind this faith. It means God has given to us his word and his spirit. This is what enables us to develop the kind of life that God wants and desires us to live. He wants us to live it out before the world. And church, he wants us to live it out before each other. So in case you're getting technical on me tonight, what does it mean to live godly? It means we're to cultivate this new nature. This new nature that we have through the Holy Spirit that is now living within us. It means we no longer trust in our feelings. We don't move because of our emotions anymore. It means we take God's word. This is why it's so important to be in God's word. We take his word, whether we want to or not. And we apply it to each situation that we have to deal with. And here's the key. Here's the key. Are you ready for this? We allow God's word to take over our lives. To take over our lives. We're not the ones in charge no more, in other words. God is in charge. I mean, it's not always an easy thing to do. But then that's why God has given to us his spirit to live inside of us. His spirit is what enables us. It's if we let God's spirit move in our lives. If we don't, then of course, we're not going to have God's power. We're not going to sense his power. Then that's when we do what we do. God's Spirit leads us. God's Spirit guides us. I mean, it just stands to reason. If God has truly made it possible for us to have life in Jesus Christ, then we can also live a godly life for him. We can live a godly life for him. Something that's important for us to understand is that even though we now have God's nature, and I'm sure you guys will agree with me, It doesn't mean we no longer have our old nature. We do still have the old nature. That's not going to be done away with until the rapture of the church, when we put on the mind of Christ and no longer have a sinful nature. That means there will always be a conflict between our old nature and our new nature. And unfortunately, we're going to have this conflict until we go home to be with the Lord in heaven. It's going to be a constant battle. That's why Peter is laying it out. He's stressing the point. Look, we're dealing with our old nature, but we have the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. God has given us the power to do this. Tonight we pick up our study in verse 5. Notice what Peter says. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Peter is telling us that our life as a Christian should be taken very seriously. It should be taken very seriously. The problem I see is it's always a fight with the flesh and the world. I mean, for one thing, the world doesn't want us to take our faith into our businesses. They don't want us to take our faith into our schools, or as far as that goes, into every day of our lives. The world doesn't mind if we are religious, as long as we don't make a stand for our faith. That's where they draw the line. But Peter is saying it's something we're to give all diligence to. Then he gives us a list we're to add to our faith. I mean, it's proof that there should be continual growth in our lives as Christians. Peter explains it this way in 2 Peter 3:18. He said, "But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen." You see, if tonight you're a believer in Jesus Christ, then there's no question about it. You have to grow. You have to grow. That's why Peter lists the different attributes that will characterize our growth. It works this way. We develop one quality as we exercise another quality. So let's look at what he says here. He begins with, add to your faith virtue. Now, the faith he's talking about here is saving faith. Number one, it's this saving faith that gave you your divine nature. Secondly, it's what gave you forgiveness of sins. And thirdly, it's what made you the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You know, it's interesting. To the first century Romans, virtue characterized the best of man, the best that man could ever be. Things like strength, courage, valor, excellence. I mean, these are the very qualities that should characterize our lives as Christians. The world needs to see believers who have the courage to make a godly stand for what is right. A lot of that is missing in our day. I see too many Christians, they're compromising. They're not making a godly stand on what is right. They're going with the flow of the world because they don't like opposition. Well, let me ask you, who loves opposition? We would love for everything to just be smooth. But the world also needs to see us make a stand against what is wrong. I'm talking about not compromising our walk in the Lord. I mean, just because the world's doing it doesn't make it right. Neither does just because Christians are doing it make it right. It's what God's word says that we need to do that makes it right. Listen to what Isaiah said in Isaiah 5, verses 20 and 21. Tell me if this isn't prophetic of today. He said, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." If you love anything about Peter, it's this. The guy likes to lay it on the line. He's laying it on the line. I mean, he definitely isn't holding anything back. And that's the way we should be as Christians. He's saying you have to take a stand. He says, add to your faith courage or virtue. And then he says, add to virtue knowledge. From the Greek translation, the word knowledge means to know God in his salvation. To know God in his salvation. What's that mean? Well, if you know God in his salvation, it's an indication that you're growing in your walk with the Lord. You're growing in your walk with the Lord. In verse 2, the word knowledge came from the Greek word meaning super knowledge. We studied that last time, if you remember. When Paul wrote to the Colossian believers, he said he was praying that they might have this super knowledge. The reason why he was praying is because of the Gnostic heresy that had crept into the church. The Gnostics. The Gnostics claimed to impart super knowledge by their secret witch rituals. A super knowledge by their rituals. Well, this knowledge is speaking of growing and developing in your life as a Christian. Super knowledge. It's actually the goal of the Holy Spirit confirming God's word to you and me as believers. Super knowledge. Again, it's the Holy Spirit confirming God's word to us as he makes God's word real to us. That's why it's so important that we study God's word as we are tonight. We're learning God's word. As you share the word with others, God's Spirit will confirm it to you. And the result, you ready for this? The result is growth in your lives, in your spiritual life. This is exactly what Peter had in mind when he said to add to your virtue or courage, knowledge. You know as well as I do, it takes courage to declare God's word. It takes guts. There's a lot of Christians don't have the guts to do that. They're afraid of what people might think. Well, who cares what they think? I care what God thinks. I mean, it's my job as a Christian. I'm to share God's word. I'm to let others know the good news of the gospel. Man, I know it's not always easy to share the gospel with people. I know that. Someone said this. I thought it was pretty cool. He said, "The breakfast of champions is not cereal. It's the opposition." The breakfast of champions is not cereal. It's the opposition. Peter goes on. Add to knowledge, self-control. Now, this is a little bit tougher one for me. I'm sure this is not throwing you off guard to know we as believers are to be self-controlled. We're to be self-controlled. So what is Peter exactly talking about? He's speaking of every area in our lives. That every area in our lives have to be controlled. Unless you live under a rock, by now every one of us know that it is a challenge in itself to have self-control. We're sinners, and we go off the handle. We fly off the handle. It's easy to do that. And now we're learning as Christians to control ourselves. He then says, add to self-control, perseverance. You notice the progression here? Are you guys catching this tonight? Perseverance means what? It means patience. Self-control has to do with handling the pleasures and things of this life. Patience relates mostly to the pressures and problems of this life. Patience is being able to hang tough and endure when trials come. It's not giving up the ghost. It's not going sideways on somebody. It's being able to hang tough and endure. Man, that's hard. That don't happen overnight. It takes years as a Christian to get that under your belt. Let me say this. If you've been a believer for any length of time, you know patience is built on what? What's patience built on? Knowledge, courage, and a whole lot of guts and faith. A whole lot of guts and faith. Add to perseverance, godliness. Godliness is something I believe has fallen into the cracks in our day. Why would I say that? Because godliness means exactly what it says, to be like God. It's a word, Christian. Christian means to be Christ-like, to be like Jesus Christ. Man, we fall so short of that. It just makes sense. After you've been brought into God's family, all right, you become God's son. You become God's daughter. The facts are, you're going to want to be like your heavenly Father. You're going to want to be godlike. You don't just take Christianity and hold it in your hand and then live your life the way you feel you want to live it, but you're a Christian. That's not how it works. Don't get me wrong. It doesn't mean you'll be like God. None of us are going to be like God. But you will have that desire. In fact, it will literally be the goal of your life to be more and more like Jesus Christ. It'll be the goal of your life. The first time I read of what Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 48, I was ready to call it quits. I was ready to give it up, man. Listen to what Jesus said. Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Wow. Can any of us be perfect tonight? No, none of us can. But you see, here's what Jesus did. Jesus set that goal so high that we would strive our entire life to try and attain it. I mean, it's something we're continually shooting for, to be perfect like our Father in heaven. The word godliness has in it the very thought of praising and worshiping God. Did you know that? Godliness. The very thought of praising and worshiping our Father. It's speaking of having such a dependence on God. You ever had a dependence on something? You just had to have it continually? You'd do anything just to do it again? One more time. Just give me a chance. One more. It's speaking of having such a dependence on God that your life is totally devoted to Him. Wow. It's heavy stuff, man. Is that where we are tonight? Are our lives totally devoted to Him? I had a dependency on alcohol and on drugs. I know what that's like. I know what it's like, man, to crave, and I gotta get loaded again. I know what that was like. Well, now that I'm a Christian, do I have a dependence on God to where I want to be totally devoted to Him? God, I want to be just like You. Please, Father, make me more and more like You every day of my life. I mean, did I carry that mentality into my relationship with Christ now? Or am I working on a 50-50? God, I'll give You 50% of me. The other 50 is for me. Still me. It's mine. I'm still in control. I know this is going to hurt a little. But you know what that means? Having a dependence on God, being totally devoted to Him, it means living above the petty things of life. Living above the little things that just suck us down under. And here we got God's power living inside of us. Amazing. The petty things of life, it speaks of the passions and the pressures that we allow to control our lives and the lives of others. Okay, so what are you saying, Rick? What are you talking about? I'm saying being godly seeks to do God's will. And it also seeks the well-being of others. It's putting others before yourself. It's God's word. Take it up with the Father. It's not me, it's Him. He's the one that told us what to do. Notice what Peter says next. Add to godliness, brotherly kindness. Uh-oh, here we go. Here it is. I knew it was coming down to this. In its translation from the original Greek text, right out of its translation, it's speaking of loving the brethren. We are to love our fellow believers. But then he takes it farther. Add to brotherly kindness, love. This is really neat. In its true interpretation, it means we're to love the sinner as God loves him. We are to love the sinner as God loves him. You know, I think we tend to forget, first of all, that God loved the sinner enough to redeem him or her. And secondly, you ready for this? You better hold on to your chairs. We are all sinners. We're all sinners. None of us that are righteous in and of ourselves. As Christians, the only way we have anything to do with righteous is that Christ declared us righteous. He didn't make us righteous. He declared us to be righteous. That means when God looks at you, He sees His Son, Jesus Christ. He sees the blood covering over you, the sinner that you are, the sinner that I am. Yes, God hates the sin. And yes, God will judge the sin unless people turn to Jesus for the forgiveness of sin. Now, just in case we're not on the same track with each other tonight, I want to be clear about something. Loving a sinner doesn't mean you go down to his or her level and take part in their sin. Well, wait a minute, Rick. Time out, wait a minute. Didn't Paul the Apostle say he became all things to all men that he might win some? I'm going to tell you tonight, don't go down that road with me, okay? He did say that, but he wasn't speaking of getting together with them and being a partaker in their sin. It's talking about loving the sinner. Paul came down to where they're at to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them, to hopefully let them see that they are sinners and feel guilty and repent and give their lives to Christ. That's what Paul did. It's by letting them see the love of God operating in our lives and by bringing the gospel to them. I mean, this was the point Jesus was continually teaching and illustrating. We reveal our love by caring enough to try and bring them to Christ. Remember what Jesus said in John 13:35? You might not remember it if you got selective memory. That's the way he said. Jesus said, "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Look at verse 8. Peter says, "For if these things are yours and abound," notice what will happen. "You will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, Peter's not talking about practicing religion. He's not talking about practicing any kind of ritual. He's speaking of what was given to us. Yes, you and me as believers, as Christians. What has allowed us to escape the corruption of the world? That we are partakers of God's divine nature. Partakers. We have God's 100% pure spirit living inside of us. 100% pure. And it just really bothers me when I hear believers say that they can't do something with 100%. The creator of the universe's spirit, 100% purity, is living inside of them. He says, if these things are yours, what things? Things he just mentioned. Faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love for those who are lost. If these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful. It's God's word. It's God's word. You stand on his word as a foundation, don't you? I mean, yes or no? It's that plain. It's not, no maybe about it, yes or no. And if it's yes, then this is what he says. Now, is God a liar? No, he's not man that he can lie. That's what says in the Old Testament. He's God. Everything we enjoy in this life and we see in this world, he created. He created. Is he not powerful enough to deal with this stupid stuff? The word barren, translated from the original Greek text, you know what it means? It means idle. Being idle. It has to do with what is called the fruit of the Spirit. Well, here we have the fruit. You ready for this? Faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love for those who are lost. Man, you think the dude was trying to drive his point home? Here's the bottom line. God does not want us to be barren. We're his sons and his daughters, especially when it comes to the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we got to be reading, church. Believer, this is why you got to be in the Word on a daily basis, because if you're not in the Word, you're going to be in the flesh. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. Again, don't take it up with me. Take it up with Dad. It's what his Word says. You're always operating. It's either spirit or it's flesh. It's flesh or it's spirit. There's no in between. Look at verse 9. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Wow. Wow. It's their lack of enthusiasm. Eventually, it's going to result in them not being sure that they were ever really saved in the first place. It's what's going to happen if they keep going down this path. Paul exhorted the believers in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 to 14. First, he says, watch. Secondly, stand fast in the faith. Third, be brave. Fourth, be strong. And then Paul, the apostle, just lays it out. Let all that you do be done with love. Man, it's incredible. God's word. In fact, Paul concluded his second letter to the Corinthians saying this in 2 Corinthians 13:5. You ready for this, believer? Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. It's radical, man. It's radical stuff. We are to examine ourselves to make sure we are still in the faith. I mean, James says the demons believe and they tremble. Demons ain't going to heaven, they're going to hell. So it don't mean nothing you as a Christian believe. Doesn't mean anything. Are you in the faith? Are you standing on the solid foundation, the rock of Jesus Christ, and letting His Spirit have control of your life? That's what it comes down to. Too many believers today have the idea that they can live a careless life and still be a Christian. But God's word is telling us tonight that they are wrong. Because it is totally impossible. It's impossible, man. Why do you think Peter says, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins? Think about that next time you point a finger. Look at verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never, never stumble. You'll never stumble. Man, you gotta love it. You gotta love it. Our security as believers is something that is solid. But our assurance can be questionable by the life we're choosing to live. Our assurance. If your life is not lived in sincerity and in truth, you will continually wonder if you've really been born again, if you're really saved. You'll keep questioning if you are really going to go to heaven or not. It's because you're not living your life in sincerity and in truth. Get in the Word, man. See what sincerity and truth is. You see, Jesus has done everything necessary to save you and to keep you saved. But if your Christian life is to be meaningful, man, I'm telling you, church, tonight, you simply have to work at it. You got to work at it, man. You could throw your hands up and say no and let it go. Well, then that's on you. And you might say, you know, Rick, I really don't care. Oh, but you will when you stand before Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line. Right now, you might not care, but this life is going to be gone and past. And when the reality sets in and we stand before the Bema seat, we will care. We will care. It's what Peter's saying here. He's saying, make your call and election sure. In other words, let's get specific. Be sure in your heart. Be sure that you know that you know that you know that you truly are God's son or God's daughter. Be sure that you know this. He then says, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. You will never stumble as a believer, man. Through the years, I've talked with believers who have fallen into sin and What I find really interesting is I have never yet talked to anyone who had the assurance of his salvation before he got into sin. Those who fell into sin, they were never really assured of their salvation. That's why they fell into sin. The person who lacks assurance, I'm going to just be straight out with you tonight. I'm not pulling any punches. If you're lacking assurance in your salvation tonight, then I'm here to tell you, you have no solid foundation under you. You do not have a solid foundation in Christ under you. Look at verse 11. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Peter is putting an emphasis, not on the rapture of the church, but on what? The second coming of Christ to establish his kingdom on this earth. At first, I wondered why Pete was doing this until I read ahead to verse 14. Look at verse 14. Pop ahead with me. Knowing that shortly I, Peter, must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Did you catch that? Peter knew his time was short. Well, okay, Rick, so what's that all about? Well, the point I'm trying to make is he knew already how he was going to die. Does that ring any bells tonight? Ding, 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 ding. That means he wasn't looking for the rapture. He wasn't looking for the rapture to happen. Can you imagine that? He knew he would never live to see the rapture. How would he know this? Because Jesus had told him he was going to die a martyr's death by crucifixion. Amazing man. He knew shortly he would put off his tent, speaking of his body. What an incredible way to speak of a believer's death. I'm going to put off this tent. You know what? I'm really ready to pull up tent pegs. I'm ready to get rid of this tent and get a new tent. I'm a Christian. You're a Christian. Yes, we're not perfect. Yes, we do make mistakes. Yes, we do blow it. But the key is, because we're a Christian, we need to get back on track. And we need to get in line with God's word and do those things he has entrusted to us to do, because time is short. Time is short. I want to close with this tonight. As a third century man was anticipating death, he penned these last words to a friend. It's a bad world, an incredibly bad world. But I have discovered in the midst of it a quiet and holy people who have learned a great secret. They have found a joy which is 1,000 times better than any pleasure of our sinful life. They are despised, they're persecuted, but they care not. They are masters of their souls. They have overcome the world. These people are Christians, and I am one of them. If that doesn't resonate with you tonight, nothing will. We're Christians. We're to be Christ-like. We have our failures, we have our shortcomings, but we're to come over them. And we're to let God have control of our lives, whether we like it or not. And we let him rule in our lives. Let's pray.